Let's stand. We're going to look at the Bible this morning, and we're going to turn to Romans chapter 8. And you won't stand too long because I'd love for you just to follow me as we read Romans chapter 8 in just one verse, and that would be verse 28. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for the good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." One more time. "And we know that all things work together for the good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes." Father, this morning I believe that you want to encourage us, Lord, with this biblical truth. I ask, God, that you would be our strength, that no matter where things may be at right now in our lives, right before us, as scrambled or difficult as they may be, you're for us, and you're working a great work in us and through us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, it's all about, it's all new and it's all good. Before we go any further, I need to show you something. I need to show you something. It's so exciting. At Christmas time, we were wondering about the orphanage ministry in Mexico that we support. And we're thinking, in what practical way can we be a blessing? And so remember, we created little chain links with a photo of the students that are there in the orphanage and just said, take it from a tree and put a donation in and see if we can help purchase a swing set, right? And I think what came in, Jimmy, probably around $1,200, something like that, in that range, just from that little deal. And we prayed the blessing on it. We sent it to Pastor Jason at the orphanage, and just, it's in your hands. We, however God wants to use that. And so God evidently was speaking to other people at the same time, unbeknownst to us, because your $1,200, along with other hearts that God touched, equals this. They just put that up yesterday. So there's our swings. But it's just, and Pastor Jason yesterday on the phone, I was back and forth. And I says, I want to make sure that that is right. And he goes, yes, thank your fellowship so much. And what a great delight it is for the children. By the way, Matt Fawcett and his two daughters have been there. They're on their way back right now after being there for the last week or so. So keep them in prayer. Keep Tara in prayer, too. I know she burned her hand with some hot water yesterday, I believe. And so anyways, just keep that in prayer. We'll learn more when they get back. We're looking at our study today, and this is kind of the outline that we're going to follow. But probably in some sort of way, this will be a little bit different style teaching than our normal teaching. So what I'm going to bring forth is kind of a dialogue with you regarding our Christian life and our Christian walk and the significance that we find here in chapter 8. So we've been following along on a daily study. I send out a daily Bible study, one verse at a time. It's called Discipleship Living, discipleshipliving.com, and many of you are following along with that. So when we're looking here at chapter 8 of Romans, I'm thinking, I could use some water right now. Thank you. Actually, last week I was up in Calgary, Alberta. Calgary, Alberta, a province over, yes, they have a Calvary Chapel there. It's the largest attended Calvary Chapel in all of Canada, and familiar with the pastors, and they asked if I would speak at their men's retreat and stay over for the Sunday services. So it's five messages in about a two-day period or time, and I actually had pneumonia and bronchitis and definitely was experiencing your prayers and the power of God to see it through. But such a great blessing being with them. As a matter of fact, at the very last service, as the pastor was thanking me, I says, I think I'm part Canadian now after all this time being here. And it just is a great time being with them. But what if someone said, or maybe you would say, you know, Pastor, I believe I've given my life to the Lord. I know that I have. I mean, I asked Christ into my life, but Pastor, I'm having difficulties in this Christian life, in this Christian walk. I don't understand. Pastor, when I see my life and I see the things that I'm doing, it's not reflecting what the Bible would want me to do. There's things that I don't want to do and those things I'm doing and the things I want to do. I mean, I'd rather be here. I'd rather be coming more often and growing, and I'm not doing that. And so, Pastor, This is where I'm at. I feel as though I'm a wreck. And Paul would say, listen, look at chapter 7 of Romans and look at verse 24. He would say, Paul himself, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he says in 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What he's saying is this, listen, brothers and sisters, you're not alone. The Apostle Paul says, I know exactly what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're feeling. It's just not working out the way that you would hope it would work out, the way you would want to work it out. And you're wondering, what do I do? Where do I go from here? And then what happens is you feel so condemned by your guilt. You've been making ungodly decisions and the guilt is coming upon you and you're feeling condemned and you're confused. I mean, is God condemning me right now? And Paul would say, great question. No, he's not. As a matter of fact, he made it very clear that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Well, then what am I feeling? Because it's a real feeling. Well, if you're feeling condemnation as a believer, then I believe it's a spiritual battle that you're involved in, and you may not even be aware of the spiritual battle because the enemy wants to condemn you. And Jesus Christ says, I'm not going to condemn you. Jesus says, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is going to draw you to Jesus Christ. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor, let me understand this. I am wrestling with the realities of living the Christian life. I'm doing things I don't want to do, and I'm not doing some of the things. Am I still a Christian? Yes. What's with the struggle? The struggle is to bring us to a point of saying, God, I can't, but you can. God, I've been trying to live this Christian life out on my own, in my own power and strength and good intentions, and I can't. And heaven says, amen. Glad you discovered that. You can't. Well, Lord, what about these feelings inside? Well, the condemnation isn't from me. It's not. The conviction is. And the conviction draws us closer to Jesus. Well, what about when I feel condemned? Well, it's a feeling, and it's not reality. The reality is the biblical truth that God is for you. And if God is for you, who could be against you? And we need to put this within our minds and within our hearts and to understand. Well, then what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do then as a believer? Well, you were very acquainted before you became a Christian with what it was like to walk in the world. You knew how to traffic in the world. You knew how to live in the world. You knew how to work the world. You knew how to play the worldly games and all of that. You knew about how to walk in the world. And God is saying, now, since you know how to walk in the world, I'm going to teach you how to walk in the Spirit. You say, what? Yes, the Spirit. I don't understand. Well, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God is dwelling now inside of you. You have a decided advantage that no non-believer would ever have. Christ lives within you. And since Christ lives in you and lives in me and lives in every believer, he wants to live his life out of us and through us. We need to understand that. So we want to have not the mind of the world, but we want to have the mind of Christ. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we start to read the Word of God. We begin to have a new hunger and thirst for the Word of God and for the things of God. And that's an exciting thing. And so the Spirit of God is living within us. We're going to start to walk in the Spirit. But you know, Pastor, I don't know. I'm a very gold-oriented person. I feel like I just really want to achieve things. And I know most of the things I've achieved is based on pride. I just want to do this, and it makes me feel good. And I want to succeed. I want to move forward. So can I do that as a Christian? I'd say there's two answers to this question. One, I believe that every Christian should live wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. I believe every Christian should be diligent regarding how we live our life. We should live soberly minded, and we should live with a sense of, I'm a part of the kingdom of God. But I need kind of a goal. I need something to pursue. Well, that's very good. The thing that we need to pursue, again in Romans 8, you'll see down in verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So what are you saying? I'm saying that we want to live the Christian life to please God. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that we wake up in the morning and realize, you know what? There's been things going on in my life, and Lord, I want to be stronger in you. I want to go that way. I realize I can't do it on my own. I need your help. Lord, I've been feeling this sense of guilt and condemnation, and that's wrong. I want to feel and experience the convicting love of the Father drawing me to yourself. And in all of that, to really realize your Holy Spirit lives within me. And if your Holy Spirit lives within me, it affirms that I belong to you. Because I could never call you Lord and Savior if the Spirit of God didn't live in me. And now that you live in me, you're rearranging my life. No longer is it about pleasing myself. I'm going to make it my aim to please God. That's what I'm going to do. Make it my aim to please God. I'm going to find out what pleases God, and that's my desire. I know that worship pleases God, and I want to be a worshiper of Him. Can't sing too good, but when I'm alone in my car, I've got a great voice. When I put the Christian songs on, it's like, wow. I'm not going to ask Kelsey to be a part of the worship team, but it's happening here. I'm experiencing worshiping the Lord. I realize that just when I obey the Lord is an act of worship as well, and that pleases God. I begin to think about other people instead of myself, and that's worshiping God as well. So what do I do next? Well, next is the experiencing of a Spirit-filled life. Well, you already said the Spirit of God lives within me. Right. It does. So if the Spirit of God lives within me, how do I live a Spirit-filled life? Well, I'd say that we're halfway there already in a sense, since the Spirit of God lives within us. But to live a Spirit-filled life means that there's a dependency upon the Holy Spirit of God to live His life out of us. So I can acknowledge that the Spirit of God lives within me, but it doesn't mean I'm living a Spirit-filled life. To live a Spirit-filled life, we again look at verses 9 through 11, which we've taught on in the past, and that's where we left off on our study. But it tells us in verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So our dependency upon God and upon the Holy Spirit of God is going to give us the power. It's going to lift us, not where we're saying, you know, life's really difficult. I'm really living under the circumstances. I believe that the Spirit of God would allow us to live above the circumstances. They're not going to go away. I wish they would. They will when we get to heaven, okay? But I believe the Spirit of God wants to lift us above the circumstances so that the circumstances aren't crushing us, but the grace of God is ministering to us and then helping us understand how to continue to walk, because we're living a Spirit-filled life. We're exercising our faith, saying, God, I need your help right now. Lead me. I recognize this. When I first started out, we were married. I got a job in Denver with a national company. But before that final interview, I was so afraid. I was in Stapleton Airport Hotel, and I remember taking the elevator up to the floor that they had the final interview on. And instead of going right to where the meeting was going to be at, I went to the men's bathroom. Nobody was in there, and it became my little chapel for a moment. I mean, I was down saying, God, I don't even know how to proceed here. I am so out of my league. I don't know what to say, but thank you. Thank you that you've given me the opportunity to be here. I'm just expressing my dependency upon you. And that interview was amazing. Because what they had asked in that specific interview was exactly what I had prepared for with another salesperson. Exactly. The thing was this. Not only did God, through His Spirit, give me strength to be there, But I needed to ask his spirit for help because the questions they were asking, I was so prepared for them, I had to hold back. So it's just like, oh, let me think about that. But inside it's like, but it's like, oh, let me think about that. And it's just like the spirit of God governing the whole thing all the way through and getting that. That is the spirit-filled life. And it's a life that we live daily as a believer because we're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God. Well, Pastor, that's good. I'm kind of understanding what you're saying here. I'm not certain, though, about decisions I have to make. I'm not certain about what does God want me to do? How do I know what he wants me to do? Great question. So do you think that God can lead you there? Well, I know we have the Bible and it tells us some different things, but look at verse 14. It says, but as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Oh my. What do you mean? I mean this. I mean that God knows all things, doesn't he? He knows everything, the beginning from the end. He knows. And he wants what's best for you. He's not playing any games. You're his child. He wants what's best for you. And he wants to lead you in that specific direction. And as we humble ourselves before him and we say, I can't, but you can, God through his spirit will lead us. God will open up doors. God will open up opportunities for each of us. I mean, I gave an opening illustration. My heart was, how can we as a ministry bless an orphanage at Christmas in a simple way? Because many people are helping different things. And so just to see in a simple way, feeling led to put up those little swing chains and say, whatever comes in. That's being led by the Lord. And I have no idea. So then Pastor Jason in Mexico, obviously there was other benevolence coming in. And he's saying probably, Lord, how can we be led as good stewards over these funds? This is more than we thought. And then all of a sudden we see a picture. You think, that's how that happens. Because men and women are asking God to lead their lives, to be spirit-led. Well, in this relationship of being led by the Spirit, notice verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we call out, Abba, Father. You see, in the world in which we live, many businesses and even false and world religions, they want to hold you captive. And it's shameful because many corporations will use their upper management power to make you feel like you're going to lose your job every week. It's a fear. All of a sudden you got the position, but am I going to keep the position? And how do I keep that position? And so there's fear. So we live in a world and we experience fear. We experience fear in relationships. The enemy loves to intimidate us by fear. That's a huge tactic of the enemy, to make you fearful. Who do you think you are? You think you heard from God? Did you really hear from God? Are you certain you heard from God? I told this illustration not long ago, but it's great because I had gotten a call from one of the funeral homes locally regarding somebody that had passed away, and they had heard a memorial service that I was able to officiate at, and they felt that what I had to say at that specific ceremony, that specific service, they wanted me to say similar things at their loved one's service. So the funeral director called me and referenced this family, and I had no recollection of who he was referring to. I went through my notes to see, maybe but it wasn't there. But I still said, oh, I trust the Lord's leading in this. I want to serve. So I called the kind lady on the phone that lost her husband and introduced myself as Pastor Tom. Oh, we're so glad you called. We're so glad you called. I'll be there at 3. And then I parked up the hill, as I said before, and I called my wife before I went in because I was very nervous. And I get overcome. I get fearful. These are hurting people who I've never met before, and I want to represent the heart of Jesus, and I am in a place of a sense, I need God. I need you, God. So I called my wife on the phone. She goes, you'll do fine. You're my favorite pastor, she says. Good to know. So I parked out in front, and as I was walking up, there's a big bay window, and they were looking out at me. I did not have the courage to look at them. I just went up and knocked on the door. The lady answered, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I says, "Ma'am, Pastor Tom." And she says, "You're not the guy." I says, "I talked to you on the phone, and I was coming over to, you're not the guy. I'm not the guy. No, you're not the guy. Is there any way that I could be of any help?" Well, she was so, God bless her, she was just, I'm sure, just shaken and startled and says, "No, you're not the guy." I says, "Okay, well, I'll call back to the funeral place and let them know I'm not the guy. And we'll get the guy over." And so I did that. I called my wife, and it's like 10 minutes after 3. She goes, "You're incredible. Your ministry time is shortening incredible these days." I go, "The reason is that I'm not the guy." "What?" "No, I told her, I'm just not the guy." So I'm driving home, and my wife sends me a text. She goes, "You're my guy." I like that. That's good. As a matter of fact, when I got home, it's like, I wonder where they're holding that service. I want to see who that guy is. I want to know. I want to know that guy. See? We're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. And as you're led by the Spirit of God, you're just walking in what He has. And you cannot write the script. You just got to move forward and realize that God is there. So I'm moving forward in weakness and fear. God is there to minister. Moving there in a sense of faithfulness. Moving there wanting to help somebody out. I'm not the guy, but God has the right guy for that. No harm, no foul. Just move ahead with what God has. You see, so I don't regret any of it. Because we're being led by the Spirit of God, and there's no fear. And the reason there's no fear, and again, what a beautiful statement in chapter 8, verse 15, where it says, we have a relationship with God that we call Him Abba, Father. And those terms are not terms that would initially resonate with us. So it could also mean dad, daddy, papa, something of a very reverent and significant way. A term of endearment, father. So the Lord is saying, Listen, I have adopted you. Not only did I save you, not only did I fill you with the Holy Spirit of God, not only am I leading you in the way you want to go, I want you to know that the relationship we have with each other is officially one of a father and a son, a father and a daughter, a father and a child. Officially, we've been officially adopted by Jesus Christ. Yesterday we received from some near friends the official adoption of one of their children. And it was such a beautiful, just looking at that and realizing and putting on the counter and just thinking. I mean, my eyes just got big thinking, this little one is now adopted by this family. What a blessing. And then I've been reading these scriptures and to think, been adopted by the Lord. And we call Him Father. Like this little girl says, Daddy next door. He is saying to us, we call Him Daddy. We come to Him and in a most respectful, loving way. But the relationship isn't some hard taskmaster. It's the Lord. It's the Father. It's our Father. Daddy, I'm hurting and I don't understand what's happening inside of me. And I'm wondering, Lord, as I see this world, is there hope? Is there hope when we see what is going on in this world? And the Lord says to us, as you look in verse 18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to fertility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Don't get confused. Stay with me. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. My friends, if you went back later on to the book of Genesis, and if you went to chapter 3 in the book of Genesis, you would see that when Adam sinned, he sinned for the entire human race, which caused us to receive the consequences. The curse of that sin came to the human race. So the consequence means for men and for women, there's a consequence because of that sin, which plagues us to this day. The consequences of that. But there's also a curse in creation. And the creation is under that same curse. Just like we will be delivered, so will the creation. Which I want to say rather directly, when I hear national leaders speak about the creation and environmental climate kinds of things as the greatest things that are a concern to the next generation, I think, my goodness, what world do you live in? Really, I'm serious. Do you understand? We are to be good stewards of this body and good stewards of this creation. But this body has an expiration date on it, and so does the creation. And there's going to be a new creation, and a new creation he's going to make as well. And if you fall in love with this creation, or you fall in love with that creation, you'll be out of love with the Creator God. And that's what's happening these days. So even though I'd want to be a good steward, eat healthy and exercise or whatever, listen, there's an ultimate expiration date. And same with the creation. And to understand that, and he's saying that these bodies groan, and that's so true. They groan more than we've been married 36 years. Just get out of bed in the morning. Okay, get a little momentum first, all right? Get a little momentum going here. She goes, you got a new dance? No, I'm just trying to make it to the next room. We're going to get warmed up here a little bit. Listen. She goes, you groaning for me? No, I'm just groaning. And the creation groans. You can see it. You understand that. But in Isaiah, it says there's a time in the future where the lion and the lamb will lie down together. They can lie down together right now, but the lamb is inside of the lion when they lie down right now. And this is great truth to know. It's so important to have a biblical worldview. Again, please be good stewards over the temple God's given you. Be good stewards over the things he's entrusted to you. But we love him. We love him. And so when you go down and you see, okay, then I do have hope. Verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still have hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. I love it. So, Pastor, what do you really hope for? My friends, I hope for one more full-on outpouring of the Holy Spirit, men and women and boys and girls giving their lives to Jesus. That's what I hope for. I'm not here just to ride out till rapture or whatever. I am here believing and hoping to see multitudes of people surrender their lives to the Lord and be able to experience what God has designed them to be. Together, collectively, worshiping God together. That is in my mind and my heart. Men and women, boys and girls, following after Jesus. A revival in the Muslim countries coming to faith in Christ. Imams being pastors, born again. Why not? What do you have hope for? Well, how do you see that? I don't. But I can pray about that. Because if I can see it, then there's no hope. Hope is what you don't see. Why wouldn't I hope for the great outpouring of God? For the kingdom of God is at hand. And as you take these truths in, and as they work within your lives, you all of a sudden realize, you know something? It's not about the U.S. or Canada or Europe or anything else. It's about the kingdom of God. I am here about the kingdom of God. And I'm looking forward to the time when this hope is a reality. You know, they tell us, and it's a great encouragement, that we live by faith right now, not by sight. And many years ago, a pastor at a memorial service said something that I'm sure he learned from someone else. But it hit me right in the heart. He says, our dear friend no longer walks by faith. They walk by sight because they're in heaven. And that resonated with me. I think, yes! So on this earth, we live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. But in heaven, we see him. We see Jesus, the fulfillment of our faith. And all of eternity we'll be learning more and more about him for all eternity, forever. Well, hopefully you're being encouraged, but you say, you know, Pastor, my prayer life isn't that great. Well, welcome to Christianity, okay? I don't think I have ever met anybody who said their prayer life is fantastic, just moving right along. If they did, I'd say, I'm going to pray for you. It's obviously an area that we continually want to grow in. It's just like saying, I just communicate at level 10 to my wife all the time. She's having a heart attack right now. But it's like, nobody does that. You'd want to, but it's not a reality. So then what are you saying? I'm off the hook regarding praying? No. Well, you know, I just don't have all the words. I mean, I could say I'm going to have a prayer meeting personally to the Lord, and after 2.5 minutes, I've covered the world. I'm done praying. Everything's prayed for in my eyes. Bless, bless, bless. Amen. We've been having some great prayer meetings here on in the different times, and if you look at your bulletin later, you can see some adjusted times. So are you getting me off the hook, Pastor? No. I'm going to put the heat on. Here it comes. Actually, look at this. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how we should pray. Okay. Keep reading. Verse 26. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints, that's us Christians, according to the will of God. How come I've never seen that in the Bible? Because you haven't been doing discipleship living. Look at this. What does this mean? Pastor, you've been liberating me this morning. You said in 7, this wrestling thing, I thought I was out, then I'm in. I know the condemnation, it's not from God. His convicting love brings me to himself, and I'm beginning to walk in the Spirit, and I want to please God with my life. And to understand a Spirit-filled life is the normal life that we should live as believers. And then you told me, the Scripture says, that he's not only going to lead us, he's adopted us, and he's given us the privilege to call him Father. And he tells us that we have hope in this world. There is hope in this world. There's hope for us. There's a hopeful future with him. There's reason to live and to have faith. And then you said regarding prayer, I never realized this before, because when I've had no words to say, when the pain is great, and it's just overwhelming, and you love God, and you just say, Lord, help me. God, I need you. Oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what to do, Lord. Lord, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. Do you understand that the Spirit of God who searches the heart, your heart, takes what's in your heart and, according to the Scripture, brings it before the throne of God, brings it to the throne of God for us, intercedes and brings that to the throne of God. That's how much God loves you. He isn't looking for your meticulous words. He's looking for our surrendered heart to him. And that surrendered heart, that has a wordless heart, is what I call it, wordless heart. I don't have words. I have hope, I have pain, I have a lot of things. But I have you, Abba Father, and I just trust the Spirit of God is bringing before your throne what I have no capacity to put into words. And then he says, guess what? Come here, my son. Come here, my daughter. Come here, my child. And if you could just experience the embracing love of God saying, guess what? It's going to work out. It's going to work out. You love me, and it's going to work out. I'm going to see you through this. I'm going to give you grace in this. I'm going to sustain you all the way through. You don't realize, But the very pain and agony you may be suffering right now, you don't realize it, but it's what I'm using to make you more like me. Jesus says it's all about you becoming more like me. It's all about Pastor Tom becoming more like Jesus. And Jesus says, I've had to let this come your way. It's passed through me to you. Anything that has arrived to you, Pastor Tom, has passed through me. So I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I'm going to see you through. It's going to work out in an incredible way you never understood before. This is the only way it'll be accomplished. You're not being punished or penalized or anything. It's God working his work in us and through us. Why? Because he adopted us. Because he hears the groanings of our heart. Because his spirit lives within us. Because he's leading us. Because there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand as the worship team comes for our final song. Let's pray. Father, we understand, Lord, I think from your Holy Spirit just even working today, the Spirit of God leads us into all truth. We've taken your word. We've gone over 28 verses or so in a different sort of a way, but I'm trusting you're working to bring us hope, to bring us encouragement, to bring us a perspective from heaven regarding our lives here on earth. My dear friends, I'm not certain, only God does, because he searches our heart. But this message is for everyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ. But if God has been leading you to a place of surrendering your life and becoming a child of God, then during this worship song, take the opportunity and just say, God, I want to be born again, born of the Spirit. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. I too want to be a child of God. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And for all of us, during this last worship song, even as we sing, but may the meditation of our heart be that to please God, and may we even say in our own hearts, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.